What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 110 of the Rocket Punch Cast. I'm one of your hosts, Cameron, alongside the winner for Miss Congeniality, Chris. What's going on, man?
I'd like to thank the Academy.
Round of applause. There you go. No, my wife is watching Miss Congeniality out in the other room, so I'm like, oh, that's a good intro. We'll toss that in there. Just nice. Anything random.
I thought that's
No, Chris, how are you this week, man?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Nothing. How are you?
A little tired, I'm not going to lie. Been busy.
Well, get hype.
Yeah, I mean, we've got a lot of stuff to get hype about tonight. Mainly, a lot of it was very Warcraft, Blizzard game-esque related.
But yeah.
There's still some stuff to talk about here in the Rocket Punch Cast. No, it was a pretty good week. A decent week for gaming. Probably the most I've gamed in a while, it feels like.
Yeah?
Yeah, a little
That's
bit.
That's a good thing.
It is a good thing.
That's a good thing.
Especially for what we do here, so.
Yeah. It'd be nice if we could actually relate and be like, here's a bunch of gaming stuff. I mean, we didn't play any of it, but, no.
But it's cool, so hey, here you go.
Hey.
But no, I've had fun regardless. I've had this weekend, like, I was happy for Friday to be here. I'll definitely say that.
Always. 100%. Every week.
But not too bad of a week. Anything crazy happen for you this week?
Crazy.
There we go. Bring it closer.
Crazy McCrazerson. Not really crazy. Had some fun over at Campus 805 on Friday.
Okay.
Had some good times over there. Delicious foods. Delicious foods.
For people who don't know, Campus 805 is where a lot of our local like craft breweries are at and other places.
May have had a few of those as well.
Yeah. One or two?
Or more.
One of those kind of nights. Okay.
It was good. Yeah, after the week that I had significantly more than one or two.
Well, let's cleanse that not great week with some Rocket Punch Cast.
Let's do it.
Some talking about video games, because if you did not know, this is the Rocket Punch Cast, where groups of friends from all across the globe come around this table to talk about video games in the microphones here. You can listen every Tuesday on podcast services of your choice, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, and more. They're definitely out there. Go check them out. You can also watch us live as we record the show each and every week over at twitch.tv/RocketPunchLive every Sunday at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. You don't want to miss us here. Join in on the conversation. Come chat with us about the topics we talk about. Your comment may even get read as we're going through everything. If you want to know more about Rocket Punch, make sure you're headed over to rocketpunchgo.com. That is your one-stop shop for everything we do, Rocket Punch. All of our podcasts are a complete plug. Make sure you go check out Tank and Spank this week. It's very long, but great conversations were had about the whole Sylvanas did nothing wrong debacle. So you want to check that out. You don't want to miss that one there. But it also gives you a chance to check out our Twitch streams and videos that we're making for you guys each and every day. So don't make sure rocketpunchgo.com is the place to be. And of course, guys, if you want to help support the show, want to help keep the mics rolling here in the studio, make sure you go to patreon.com/rocketpunch. For as little as a dollar a month, you can help support the show and you get awesome, cool goodies and exclusive content in the process. And speaking of goodies there, we definitely want to give our weekly shout out to our people supporting us at our highest tier over on Patreon. Chuck O'Brien and Jossie Moore, thank you guys so much for your generous support. We also want to thank all of our other patrons that are supporting us. So make sure you're heading over to patreon.com/rocketpunch to help support the show. If you're watching via video over at twitch.tv/rocketpunchlive, number one, make sure you click that heart at the top of your screen so you're following us here. So, and that way you'll know our schedule and you'll know when we're going live each and every week. But also, if you have Amazon Prime, you'll also have a free Twitch Prime sub that you can give away each and every month. We would appreciate it very much if you threw it our way. And also, if you're listening via audio services or podcasts, make sure you take some time to rate and review us on that service of choice. Chris throwing up the 5 stars there. Let us know. Give us that feedback. It helps us out in making the show better for you. And it also helps us out with getting better discoverability so we can reach more ears, which is always a great thing. And make sure as well, if you guys are looking for a community to join, want to talk about video game happenings and goofiness and whatnot, make sure you swing over to our Discord channel. Credible Threat Gaming has just posted it into chat for us. Thank you, Chris. But head over there, join our, we got topics of the days, weird dank memes going on. I saw the
The dankest.
A lot of Sylvanas, Teldrassil memes.
It was a good week for memes.
Yeah, it was definitely a good week for memes. But make sure you swing by our Discord channel so you don't miss anything that's going on there. Upcoming events, guys. First and foremost, Creator Spotlight. We've got our upcoming Creator Spotlight this week. I think we've talked about it before. I think we talked about it last week. But Platforms, the kind of Gamers Cafe up in very close to us here in Nashville, Tennessee, their Creator Spotlight will be releasing this upcoming Wednesday, August the 8th. So make sure you swing by. Subscribed to our Rocket Punch cast feed. If you're listening via audio services, you'll automatically get it downloaded. If not, why aren't you subscribing to us? Come on, get with the program. But if not, you can definitely check it out over at rocketpunchgo.com. It'll be featured right on the main page as well. I'm excited about that one.
Yeah.
The audio was, I found a denoiser.
Mm-hmm.
And it really cleaned up that audio. Like, yeah, all the pops and stuff that happened were gone. You'll have to listen to it afterwards.
I will.
It did a really good job of kind of cleaning that up.
It was a good episode, too.
It was. Yeah. A lot of interesting stuff to talk about there. So don't miss out, guys. It's going to be an exciting episode that's going to go live here this week. And also, our stream schedule here. We've got our normal stream days. No bonus round this week. Nothing that caught our eye that was like, oh, we got to play that this week, but we still have some awesome games for you guys here. For Top Shelf Tuesday, Chris, what are we playing?
We are going to be playing a little bit of a new game called Overcooked 2. It is a sequel to the very popular party game Overcooked.
It is
four players basically pretending like they're on Hell's Kitchen. If Hell's Kitchen was on some sort of crazy planet where insane cartoony things happen.
Then. Are you saying the Onion King is Gordon Ramsay?
Yeah. Let's go with that.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
It is good.
I wonder if he'll have like a DLC skin that you can make him Gordon Ramsay.
I would be okay with that.
And like a mature filter that you can turn
off. Yeah, that would be great.
That would be awesome. I'd love that. So guys, don't miss out on Overcooked 2 this upcoming Tuesday. We're going tonight if you listen to this as the episode goes live.
Mm-hmm.
Wednesday, what else you got for us?
Going to be bringing you night number 3 of Yooka-Laylee. Been digging that on the Indie Avenue streams.
A lot of people have been liking that.
Yeah, it's been fun.
Are you close to beating it yet?
I don't think we're anywhere near it. That game is massive.
I'm surprised at how big it was. I remember catching some of the levels in the worlds. I'm like, wow. Yeah, wow. I guess it's been so long since I've played a game like that, like a platformer, a very, say, an old platformer, but like an N64 era platformer.
Right, yeah, little ways, and it is definitely absolutely one of those kind of games. So,
okay, you know,
with all the benefits and with all the drawbacks, but it's fun. I'm enjoying it. You know, it looks really good on my computer. It runs really well. It streams really nicely. It makes for a pretty stream, and getting a lot of chat interaction on helping me solve some of the more complicated puzzles and trying to find things that I lost and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's been good. That's going to be a good stream.
Make sure you guys check out part 3 of Yooka-Laylee this Wednesday. And then Thursday, for Tank and Spang Thursdays, we're going to give you a palate cleanser before next week. And we're going to talk about that in a second here. Overwatch is going to be played this week. We're going to jump in. I know we haven't really showed off Hammond, the new
hero.
Not
too much, right?
Yeah, and kind of the new meta there. So we'll definitely jump in and get some games there. It's always fun. Mm-hmm. Especially when we get like a bunch of people.
Yeah.
We'll definitely have to reach out to everybody on Discord, see if like, hey, come goof off with us for a couple hours. And
that's Overwatch. The way to do it right there.
It'll be a whole lot of fun there. But the other big one as well to get you guys kind of ready also next week with the release of Battle for Azeroth, we are doing what is known as the Week of Warcraft.
Uh-oh.
Or as the kids call it nowadays, WoW. No, very creative name.
Very.
You've never heard it before.
Very far.
But next week, our streams will primarily be all Warcraft. We'll be jumping in Alliance and Horde side, kind of going through, leveling up, goofing off, talking with people in chat, everything like that. So if you're really pumped, really excited about World of Warcraft, kind of come down, watch us. In between you playing it, come watch us here at twitch.tv/RocketPunchLive. There, I'm excited for those streams.
It should be fun.
I'm excited for the expansion in general.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm super pumped.
Me too. It's going to be good times. I got some new add-ons I've been working with.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, the guy I know who plays 8 million hours of WoW a week, he hooked me up with some quality ones. There's this one that basically makes the game kind of run itself. That's kind of weird. It tells you.
Isn't that called a bot?
It, more or less, right? It tells you straight up, like, cast this. Okay, now cast this. Okay, now cast this. Oh, this is off cooldown. Cast this. Oh, this is proc.
Wow,
cast this.
I didn't know they made
it. It is. Like that. It is so. And I thought I would hate it. But actually, like, I'm too old to deal with this anymore. It's much easier to just let you tell me how to play the game and let me just play the game. You know what I mean? It sounds stupid, but I'm telling you, like, when you turn it on, you're like, yeah, I'm not turning that off.
Well, I mean, Lunar Skull in chat thinks it's awesome, so you got somebody hyped for it.
Yes, yes.
But, no, get hyped for our streams. Make sure you're following us here at twitch.tv/RocketPunchLive so you know when we go live each and every week. With those cool games we're going to be playing.
Super cool.
Other than that, stream schedule's done. Everything's good. We're at Table Talk.
Tippy Taro.
Chris.
Yes.
What'd you play this week?
Mostly what I streamed. Did a little bit of World of Warcraft. I went through... you streamed World of Warcraft this week for me because I was having a rough week.
Oh, yeah.
Rough week. So, totes appreciate on that. But I did finally play some...
I want people to know, if Chris asks... somebody to cover a stream for him, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
Like, it's a super big deal.
I was not looking forward to asking, but I was just like, after that day, I was just like losing it. It was.
I'm done. It's over.
Yep. That fuse had been burnt. So, thank you for hanging up, hanging out with the people for me. But, I did play some World of Warcraft though, finally. I got through the, Alliance side of the Burning for Teldrassil parts A and B. A lot of fun. Had some good times with that. Unlocked my new mounts. So that's exciting. Got me a super cool hippogriff. I'm digging it. I'm going to call him Buckbeak. It's going to be great.
Harry Potter fanboy. All right. Yeah, let's see what you're doing there.
I knew you would. But enjoyed that. Had a good time. And played ukulele, obviously, on stream. Had a great time with that one. A lot of people interacting. Like I said, that was a lot of fun. Good game. Again, it's got its faults, you know, but at the same time, I enjoyed it. It harkens back to the days of Banjo-Kazooie and Jack and Daxter.
Oh, yeah,
and stuff,
definitely.
So.
Like, it almost looks like a love letter. I mean, it is a love letter to
those games.
It
super is. Yeah. So I'm digging that. Had fun with that one. And lastly, thanks to my good pal here, Mr. Cameron, I was able to use a birthday gift card that I got for Best Buy.
Oh!
And I picked up Hyrule Warriors for my Switch.
I did help with that then.
You did!
Woo! Okay.
I've been waiting to pick that one up, and, you know, that provided me a sale of sorts for me to be able to pick it up, so.
So for all of our Musou fans out there, let us know, Chris, what did you think of Hyrule?
I haven't put a lot of time into it yet, but I am enjoying it. The problem that I didn't like about the Fire Emblem Warriors is I guess it is set up kind of like a Fire Emblem game where you have to do a lot more strategizing, sending people here and doing this. And I was fine with it until all of a sudden I hit the one level and it was like a brick wall. And all of a sudden there was like a lot of complicated things happening and things weren't working out. And I played the level 3 or 4 times and lost again and again and again. And it didn't matter what I was doing, I was still losing. I'm like, you know what? This is not fun anymore. I don't enjoy this. So I'm hoping this one's a little bit more Musou oriented, where it's just like if you press the one button, the attack button, often enough, it's a guaranteed win. There's not a whole lot of effort on your part, and sometimes it's nice to just shut off and have yourself a good time with a Musou game. So
okay, very very cool.
So far I'm enjoying it. The graphics, very impressive. That really, I'm constantly stunned by just how good the Switch looks. It has a really powerful tiny piece of tech.
Is it 1080 when it's docked and 720?
It's 1080 docked, 720 handheld, and like even coming over your house today, you had some your nieces and nephews playing the Mario Karts. And they were doing the Excite Bike level, and I was like, man, this looks so good.
I let them play one game. They've never played video games ever. I let them play one game of Mario Kart like weeks ago, and now every time it's come over, Uncle Cameron, we want to play Mario Kart. I'm like, ah! And I had to break the habit. They had very bad habits of like, they'd play one course, and then like, I want to change characters. Like, all right, time out. Whatever you pick, you got 4 courses you got to play through this character, and then you can choose somebody else. Until then, I don't know what else to tell you. All right. So we've had a lot of fun with that, but it's the Switch does look very good. It's as long as you don't get too close. You get too close and things start to show.
I don't know if it's just because my eyes are getting worse as I'm getting older. I don't know. I don't care. It looks fine to me. Like, I think it looks really good. Okay. And I'm super impressed, you know. Again, if it wasn't for the fact that you could pick that console up and go wherever you want, I wouldn't care at all. But that extra portability of it cures any graphical issues for me whatsoever. Okay. I'm fine with it. I think the thing is super cool.
Okay. Yeah. Lunar Skull in chat saying, "Ah, kids.
Ah, man,
that's about how it is.
Oh, those
we love them. We love them to death. We love them to death."
So what about you? You said you've been playing more games than ever before.
More games recently.
What does that mean?
I've jumped in pretty frequently, kind of getting into World of Warcraft. I've been doing the world quests in Darkshore on my Torn.
Uh-huh.
Also started, I created my Alliance character, my Paladin that I'm going to use. Probably going to end up boosting her just to get her in the game, but I at least went through kind of the intro stuff and kind of... I know how a Paladin works now, and they are, sorry, not sorry, they feel very easy.
Yeah.
They're quite easy. Yeah. Only four buttons.
Yeah. Yes.
But
it's a lot like Beastmastery Hunter. It's like silly, stupid, easy. It doesn't even have anything to do with the fact that I have the screen prompting me the four buttons to hit. It is just a boring class to play. But when you play Demonology Hunter, there's all kinds of chaos you can sow. But this thing, it's just like, did you hit that button? Hit it again.
I didn't know Demonology Hunters existed.
Demonology Warlock. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Gotcha.
You know what I meant. Demonology Hunter would be awesome, by the way. Blizzard, get on that. No. I would play that class.
Don't break the lore, Blizzard. Lunar Skull in chat asks, what are some of the things you see? I don't... Please specify. I want to make sure, because we just talked about a bunch of topics. But... World of Warcraft has been great. I'm really getting excited and getting... The hype is real now for Battle for Azeroth. And just really jumping back into WoW. It's been a while since I've played it like you, so...
Yeah.
I'm super excited. I want to raid. I feel it. The fire burns!
I'm excited to see how it goes. I'm hoping that I can keep the fires burning and get to the end and actually enjoy myself. I have a habit of getting all the way to max level and being like, I beat it, right? We're done here. We're done. I'll see you in 2 years. All right, peace. Okay. It's not a good habit. It's just a habit.
Octopath Traveler. Been playing a little bit of that. All right, continue to play that. Fun game. If you haven't bought it, go play it. Lunar Skull says, what are some of the things you see on the Switch?
I think he means like graphically.
Like
the graphics that you see that stand out.
Ooh. Breath of the Wild is a standout. Mario Kart does look good. I do remember like
that when
Mario Kart
fantastic.
8 Deluxe came on the screen... I was like staring. I was pretty close. I'm like, man, the wheels. You can see the grain on the wheels
because
it had Luigi giving the stare down on somebody. I'm like, wow, man, it's so good. But Mario Kart 8 Deluxe is a really good game. Any of the really the Nintendo owned IP, you're not going to go wrong with that one, Lunar Skull. But playing some Octopath Traveler. I played for our first bonus round stream this week, past week, I played Earhart. Tales of Broken Wings.
You did.
I did. Mixed feelings about the game.
Oh. I'm
gonna be honest. It was fine. It definitely felt, when people think of like what an indie game is, it definitely felt like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like there, it's a fun game. I could see the loop. There are things that could require polish.
Mm-hmm.
So there's really not... There is a tutorial, but it's not... It just kind of teaches you how to move.
Mm-hmm.
As far as, like, the mechanics, when you go to your shop to build your ship, you don't... You're not told anything. So I'm not sure how to combine stuff, how to shoot stuff, or anything. That may be something I'd like to see in an update in the future. And then, kind of the way the game plays, it's fun, but there it just... Something wasn't really hitting me for it. So I was like, eh, okay, that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, you always run that risk anytime you do it, like a super low budget indie game. You know what I mean? More often than not, I think you're going to get to that point where it works, it's functional, but it may not have the graphical polish or the gameplay polish or the tutorial polish or what. It may be missing some things that you've grown so accustomed to playing all the games that we're used to playing, you know?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. It's hard. You kind of have to grade it on its own scale, I feel like, and just be like, as an indie game, it does such and such and such, you know, 8 out of 10. If you compared it to other games, it's probably closer to a 5 or 6 out of 10. You know what I mean? Like, as an indie game, as a guy who spent $2,000 to bring the game to life over the last 2 years, you know what I mean, out of his basement, then, yeah, he's done a fantastic job. He's done more than I've done, you know what I mean? Like, when you compare it to the games that I've put out, I would say it's a 10 out of 10 masterpiece, you know?
And like, I would definitely say, if you're interested at all, check our Twitch archive stream of it. It was a fun, interesting game, cool little loop, and how you basically go through each layer in the sky to kind of get up top, and every couple of layers you'll run into a boss. Very roguelike. If you get destroyed, you go back to the starting area, and then you lose all your items that you collected.
Mm-hmm.
So the loop was fun. The loop was cool. I don't necessarily want to say polish, but there was some. It felt, for me as a gamer, there was something missing there that I wasn't clicking for me.
Gotcha.
That I thought I was hoping to click. But a good game. Definitely, if you're interested, check out the stream. See what you guys think yourself. And definitely pick it up if you are interested in it.
Any good clips? Any good clip-worthy moments now?
No, not really.
Mm. Yeah. Need to be more animated.
I mean, it's just the game didn't warrant it. I say the game didn't warrant it.
You just force it in there. You shoehorn it in. Just be overly dramatic for no reason whatsoever. Like, I'll teach you. I'll teach you the way. I'll show you the way.
I'm going to hold you to that. All right. No, the game I played a fair amount of as well, No Man's Sky. Played a good chunk of that. We streamed it on Tuesday, and then I played it like two more nights past week. I'm trying my hardest to try and make money so that I can get a better ship.
You can get your priorities in order. World of Warcraft comes out next week. I know. Like, I'm playing No Man's Sky. It's been out for 2 years. And I'm just now enjoying it.
Well, I enjoyed it before, but now I'm like enjoying it. I've got a story. Story to talk about No Man's Sky, because it's actually interesting. So I was on this planet. There's this moon that it doesn't kill you, which is a thumbs up already.
That's no moon.
That's a space station. We're gonna get copyright strike. Calm down, Disney's listening.
Yeah.
I went searching around, was trying to get materials. I think to build a better gun that I just recently gotten. Got on this planet. I needed one item, and it was cobalt. And I know from playing the game enough now that cobalt's usually in caves, but I could not find a cave to save my life at all. Searching around, I'm like, when I look at my ship, it says like 10 minutes to walk back to your ship. I'm like, oh God.
It's not that far.
That 10 minutes in real time.
Yeah.
That's far.
That's not in the that
game.
Far.
That's far in That's the game.
Not. Then just walk around the planet you the other way.
You haven't played.
You the walk game. Around get the planet the other way. You'll get there even faster.
Well, regardless, I
walk 10 minutes away from my truck all the time. Like, why is that such a big deal? You know, it's a procedurally. You're in a universe, Cameron. It's 10 minutes. It's this tiny little thing.
Chris, drink your water. So I get to a point where on my scanner, I see something that's called like. Rare plant or sentient plant.
Oh,
go over here. There are these like pod like things that are sticking out of the ground. I'm like, oh, these are interesting. Go over, click them, and they open up. And this pearl, it's called like an albumin pearl, comes up. It's a like extremely rare item, apparently. It's cool. Gonna sell that. Grab it as soon as I grab it. The Sentinels, which for people who haven't played the game, the Sentinels are these like automated peacekeeping force. Basically, they're like automated cops. If you start mining stuff and they're in range, they'll come like scan you, and if you continue to mine, they'll start killing you.
Oh.
So as soon, there's not one in sight. As soon as I grab this pearl, three, like they have like the GTA style 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Right.
Three of them light up. Instantly.
Oh no.
I'm like, they come, I'm like, oh God, what's happening?
What did you do?
So this goes on this crazy ass escapade where I grab, like, there's like eight of them. I grab all the pearls before they get there, because it takes them a second to get there. I run to my ship. I'm running into my ship. They're still like sitting at the ship starting to shoot at me. I'm like, oh, get out of here. Shoot out of the ship. as I'm getting out of the ship, they start to, I get in the space, and there's this warning that pops up on my screen. It's like, ships coming out of hyperspace. I'm like, oh, what is this? These two ships come down, and they're the Sentinels. They have ships, apparently, and they can find you in space. So I'm like, crap, I got to get the hell away from these guys. So I get away from the planet so I can do a hyper jump to, like, the space station or something.
Mm-hmm.
Hyper jump disabled. What so I'm going at a...
What did you steal, man?
I don't know. And, like, so I'm like, oh, crap. So I'm like... trying to Star Wars the shit out of this, and I'm weaving through asteroids, and they're following me. I'm breaking and doing X-wing barrel rolls. I'm remembering Slippy the Toad and Peppy the Hare. Like, do a barrel roll, and I'm like, no, it's not working. I end up flying. It takes me like 20 minutes. Fly to another planet because I don't have my hyper jump at mm-hmm. all. I'm running low on fuel. I run to another planet, and I'm like, okay, let me just find like a crevice to hide in. Find a crevice, turn around, land my ship. They swing by for a second, but then they start coming back. So I get out of my ship and I'm like trying to find a cave. They come back. I'm like, screwed. Okay, get back in the ship. Go back up again. And then I thought I lost them when I went in the atmosphere. And then two more ships popped in from hyperspace. And I'm like, crap. Went back on the planet, hit again. And they pass me this time and the timer starts clicking down. But as soon as I land and I find a cave, there's like three or four Sentinels, like the land ones, come finding, like they're hunting me down. And they send there's one that looks like a dog. Like it's on four legs coming for me. Like, oh God, I'm screwed. I'm done. It's over. And like, I was stuck in a cave. I couldn't go anywhere. At this point, I haven't gotten a gun, so I can't shoot them. I just have this weaselly little laser shooting people. The Sentinel comes around the corner, sees me, the counter instantly clears, and they're like, Sentinel's deactivated.
All right.
I was like, what? Just after, like, I'm in the corner like a child, like, please, no, please, I want this. I don't want to die. I want to get, because I haven't saved yet, so I would have lost that stuff. So yeah, that was my fun little escapade, one of many. I also ran into, I'm not going to go into that story, but there was a freighter, the super huge ships.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I'd ever seen one in a planet. Tried like for about an hour trying to get the thing out. Busted up some canisters on the ship to try and find a way in. Found out it was a Sentinel freighter.
Good job.
And immediately triggered that. So that was a fun one too.
Good job.
So, but no, No Man's Sky was fun. Had a lot of fun with that.
Hope you guys are enjoying the No Man's Sky cast. This is the newly branded Rocket Punch No Man's Sky cast. It's all No Man's Sky all the time.
Surprise, we're converting the podcast over. No, but I'd like...
Did you ever get the cobalt at least? As you know, I did get the cobalt. You started the story telling us that you were after this cobalt, and it's like, all right. Then things went awry.
After the Sentinels cleared, I was able to go back on my ship, go back into the general area that I was on. Not really. The planet's huge. And I found a cave. I found the cave, and I found the cobalt.
Nice.
Yes. So I was able to do what I needed to do, but I'm broke now and I still need money to get a ship. So, but it's fun. Definitely. I'm excited. I've been excited playing No Man's Sky. It's kind of like the evening chill game for me.
Cool. So.
Any other games? Anything else?
Not for me. No. Just what little gaming I could get in. I watched Ready Player One. It's kind of like playing a game.
Kind of.
You just point out how many times Tracer appears in the movie. That's the game.
Well, let's jump in then to our topics of the show.
It's six, by the way.
What?
Tracer appearances. And Ready Player One, the game I was... Just because you've moved on doesn't mean that...
I haven't even watched the movie yet. I gotta watch the movie.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I can solve that problem.
No, let's jump to topic of the show. Let's go to topic number one. Somewhat of a difficult topic I'm going to chitty-chat about. And there's a reason why. Some of the stories I saw today kind of was like, this might be something good, something worth talking about. And that's kind of like, not only just like gaming addiction, but like mental health in games.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of the mental health surrounding it. Addiction kind of falls in that category here. I don't know if you've seen this story, Chris,
mm-hmm.
or people tuning in, I'm going to post it in Twitch chat for everybody who's watching.
I saw this.
Okay. There was this interesting story about this tabloid over in England. Mm-hmm. Eurogamer posted it about this. The story, the cover of the story is what? Fortnite made me a suicidal drug addict. And it's about this, these parents and this kid and how like Fortnite sent him spiraling out of control and he almost committed suicide and, you know, was doing drugs and whatnot in order to continue to play the game and a lot of other, you know, really rough things here. And what's interesting about the story though and how Eurogamer covers it is that the author of the article, I think Martin, let me make sure I'm getting his name right. Matthew Barber. That's the author's name. Apparently, he has been known. They have proof. They have email chains and whatnot. He's known to actually reach out and scramble around and kind of almost passive-aggressive, maliciously, like try and find people like, hey, I need a story. Come talk to me. I'll pay you X amount of money to tell me about how your kid has fallen to video games in some way. And
yeah,
like how
but it's a tabloid.
Exactly. Exactly. But, you know... For what it's worth. But it was, apparently this was a huge thing because apparently this isn't the first time he's done this.
I'm sure it's not. I'm sure it's a common practice. I wouldn't be surprised if he's also not the only one doing it.
They had, I can't remember, it's like 2 years ago, another game that they had a similar story for him that they had email chains from him like reaching out and talking to these people about getting this story to kind of post online. And that kind of coupled with... I know we didn't talk about it much. I know a couple of weeks back they announced that the World Health Organization is going to put like gaming disorder in the CDC book or like an actual condition. Mm. And we also even talked about what's the one story you pulled up as well that we had talked about with the tutors.
Yeah, coaches.
Fortnite tutors. Parents were getting kids.
Yeah, coaches to get better at Fortnite. Very reasonable. It's very reasonable.
Very, okay.
Super reasonable. I mean, just think of any sport. You know what I mean? Like, my niece ended up getting hooked up with a pitching coach. So that way she could get better at pitching for softball. You know what I mean? And there's all kinds of coaches that help people get better at particular positions or better at the game in general or all that kind of stuff. How is this any different?
Well, let's have a conversation.
And it's strange. It's a strange world that we're living in. But at the same time, it was going to happen. It's just crazy how quickly, I guess, it's catching on. Like Fortnite. How old is Fortnite? A year? Two? It can't be more than two.
It's not. It's a year.
Pretty crazy that there's already people like qualified enough to call themselves coaches of the game that's only been out for a year and a half. You know,
Lunar School, yes, that is a thing. That's what we're going to talk about here. Let's have a conversation. Let's talk about mental health and gaming, especially the two big stories here and kind of the state. I don't want to state this in, but like, what our thoughts are on some of this? Some of the questions I've got here. One specifically about the addictive gaming there, especially with the tabloid Fortnite article. Like, do games need to be considered addictive? Are they addictive? I'm sure this is going to go into a broad conversation on like violence in video games and like school shootings and like, oh, he played Grand Theft Auto before he shot that school up and all that crap. And then also like, why does it feel like media outlets sometimes work so hard to kind of demonize gaming? Kind of as we see, it's not as much now, I don't think, as it was like way back when in the 90s and whatnot.
Yeah.
But really just have a conversation like mental health in gaming. Do you have any initial thoughts just on mental health in gaming? Like we hear these people, I'll bring up the school shootings and whatnot. We hear these people talk about, you know, oh, this kid, you know, it's horrible tragedy. Kids shoot up a school, X amount of people die, X amount of people injured. And then sometime within the week, some news outlet, some story comes out and says that Johnny B. Good played Grand Theft Auto and Call of Duty 5 nights a week and almost kind of steering the conversation towards, man, video games made him shoot those kids up there.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know,
It's a difficult conversation.
I mean, what do you say about it? You know, I mean, it's one of those things. Everybody reacts to everything a little bit differently. So maybe it had an effect. Maybe it didn't have an effect. I think to blanket everything and say, oh, games are the cause is absolutely silly. You know, and I think that in general, most news organizations have realized that that's silly and that they would get trashed every day of the week when it comes to actually looking at the data. There's no data to support it whatsoever. So I think that's why in general you don't see that much more. You do see it as off the cuff remarks from people in power, the president or people in Congress. You'll see they'll be like, oh, you know, games this and we got to do something about games, and just like, you know, offhand crazy stuff like that. But that's usually coming from a generation that is completely disconnected from the thought of games. They're still looking at it from that 1990s mentality, and they don't need to back themselves up. They don't need to provide sources. They don't need to show where they're right. They can just say it, and enough people listen to those people that it just comes off that way. They don't have to defend themselves. In media, you don't really see it, I don't think, much more. They try. You'll see an article here and there, whatever, but in general, it's pretty easy to knock those down. So most, you know, respectable journalists won't bother fighting that fight anymore because there's just not enough data, or what little data there is does not support their case, you know?
And here's a question I wanted to ask in related to this topic in mental health. Like, do you think that we should have more studies on like video games and any correlations to mental health, whether positive, negative, anything like that? Like, you know, maybe we sound like we're on the negative, but talk about the positive, like how, if they're completely off the cuff, I don't know if this is true or not, so don't quote me on it, but if like video games help children and adults with Down syndrome or something like that,
mm-hmm.
You know, do you think we should have more studies like that?
I mean, more information is always better, you know, so I don't really see any reason not to have more information. I mean, it all just depends, you know. Having more information on whether or not kids are, you know, more prone to violence or whatever, I mean, again, it couldn't really hurt to have more information. I think, you know, you would have to have a lot of information so that way you don't just have one or two studies that say yes and then we just go, oh, well, there you go. You know, if you got a bunch of biased studies, that's not really doing anybody any good. You need to have a lot of studies. I feel like even if you have one or two studies that say that, no, it doesn't do that, it's like, okay, well, that's great, but that's not enough information. You're giving us a very minor amount of information going, oh, base your entire argument on this. It's like, if you're going to do it, you need to have a lot of people doing it from significant numbers of angles and have everybody come to a consensus with what you actually have. That being said, though, I don't know, man. I don't know enough about the research field and how much money is poured into these kinds of things. I don't know. You know what I mean?
We're not experts on it. I know nothing about this. It's just having a franking. Having a conversation that I think we don't have a lot of, and not just in the gaming space, but in a lot of spaces. Mental health is not something you see in games, barely at all. Big fan, if you have not checked it out, Hellblade. Huge fan of that.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the big reasons is just with, like, not only them introducing how like mental health is in the game, but also how they portrayed it and kind of a lot of the work they put in to get not only putting it in the game, but getting it right in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of like, if you haven't heard of the game or seen it, like they go through, they actually partnered with a mental health institute in the UK. Mm-hmm. They had those guys come in, like each week they would show them builds of the game, and they would have people who are actually suffering with mental health every day, like actual human beings that are in part of the study, saying like, you know, the voices in the head, it kind of sound like this. This is how it kind of feels. This is how it kind of looks and things like that. And I've really never seen anybody take an approach to games like that. And it's just, I don't know. I saw this story and I'm like, why don't we have conversations and topics on that? Why does it feel, why is it so taboo?
I mean, mental health in general is... Yeah, I mean, it's not just in gaming. It's just something that we don't talk about. It's...
And that's what I mean.
I think the conversation is being more and more opened up. I mean, this year alone, how many people have you had that committed suicide in major media outlets? You know, from Kate Spade and Anthony Bourdain and Ronnie Edwards from the Game Theorist crew and the lead singer of Linkin Park.
Chester
Bedingfield. So, you know, with all these prominent figures making moves like that, like, you're going to see more and more openness about these subjects and what we're going to do in order to try and stave this stuff off. But yeah, you are.
I don't doubt it. It just feels like an extremely slow process, especially if we go back to like the 90s and like the Phil and Faster, I'm gonna read your comment here in a second, but like the violence in video games debate's been going on since like 80s and 90s. And
yeah, but even video games have evolved so much since then. They evolve much faster than you can have conversations like that.
Specifically talking about like when there are shootings and whatnot like that and kind of how people have tied into that. Phil and Faster here in Twitch chat makes a comment here. Anyone that believes a video game makes someone shoot up a school is just dumb. Shooting up a school is the result of a bunch of bad decisions or things happening to someone over a long period of time in their life. These things are so complicated and deep, and there is never just one cause. 100% agree with that. You know, this is a complex conversation.
Right. And that's why you don't see a whole lot of movement quickly on things like this.
And I don't know. I when I say quickly, I don't mean like quickly, like within the first year. It's for as long as video games have been existed, like we're at the point now where we just got a video game that kind of shows off mental health in a very relatable state, understandable state. Like I can understand a little bit better people who have voices in their head or see things that aren't really there, and have like psychosis and things of that nature. And it just, I just don't know why we're not seeing, I guess, I know why, if people don't want to make the game, they're just not going to make the game, like seeing more opportunities and whatnot to learn and research that. It always feels like, as with a lot of things, unfortunately, in our society, is like, it gets hot, pops up, you see a peak, and then within a very short amount of time, it fizzles out and it's not discussed again until the next big,
pretty much,
hot button thing.
I think what you're going off on is a different tangent than what I thought this conversation was going to go off on. Like, in terms of, you know, mental health or anything like that, like, what you just said nailed it. At the end of the day, we're all just going to be slaves to time. You know, it's going to take a changing of the guard at the top for people to move on, just with all things, you know, when it comes to gay marriage, when it comes to gun violence, when it comes to video games, when it comes to all that stuff. What it ends up being is, over time, it gets more and more and more understood, it gets more and more and more accepted, and as the generations pass, you'll see more and more acceptance, you know, in general, in a widespread fashion. And then people will be willing to talk about, you know, mental health issues, and it'll be more acceptable to discuss these things without feeling blacklisted. I think that's just the way that society operates. It doesn't matter how much sense something makes. Talking about, you know, mental health issues could save a bunch of lives right now if we had more reasonable, you know, conversations about them. But It the same way that, you know, accepting people who happen to like people of the same sex could save a lot of lives and make a lot of people happier. We have no control over that. You can say it, you can march in the streets, you can do all the things to try and bring acceptance and understanding to people, but sometimes you just end up in a situation where you have to kind of wait it out. Not saying that you should be on the wrong side of the conversation, but you know what I mean? Like, it's just one of those things. Times evolve, times change, and sometimes you just have to be patient. You know, I'm a very super understanding and accepting person, but my dad is not. You know, it's just one of those things. It's a, he came from a completely different generation. I will probably look like a silly fool to my children, and that's just how things go. You know, it's just in time. Hopefully that's not the case. I try to be, you know, open-minded to everything, but, you know, I don't know. I thought my dad was until now, and now I realize that he's not as much as I would like him to be sometimes.
Failing Faster in Twitch chat makes another comment here. Just had a random thought. What do you guys think? Are people who play games the type of people who are more prone to mental health issues in the first place?
Oh, no.
I
don't think so.
I would not think so. Just because, especially now in this day and age, there are way too many people who play games. Even the people who don't tell you they play games, they play games.
Liars.
there are way too many games on consoles, on PC, on your mobile device, on almost anything. You can have access to a game at some point in time, and I don't think that it's a bold-faced lie to say if you play games, you are more prone to mental health issues.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one thing I think that is worth talking about, and it's something I notice with content creators like us. And I follow a ton of different streamers, and I do see a lot of the stuff they battle with. There are a lot of streamers who are like, I got to step away from social media for a while. I've got to do, you know, or I got to take a break. I got to do this, da, da, da. And
yes, this conversation is going significantly differently than what we have on the paper. I'm just going to tell you that I hate to be that voice, right? And it's just throwing it out there. And I don't mean to take anything away from you before you say it. But at the same time, we have to be careful. You have to tiptoe, because people have lost their entire careers on saying something that sounds extremely reasonable to you and I, and yet for whatever reason the world disagrees with it vehemently, or even just a very vocal minority of the world disagrees vehemently. You just, I hear you, but I'm thinking of the same creators that you're thinking of. I'm thinking of very prominent voices of creators.
I'm not thinking of them at all.
Well,
but that's fine. It's a hard topic, and one of the things in kind of approaching this is being frank and honest. But why? I guess in your thoughts, I guess the next question here: why do you think why does it feel like sometimes media outlets are kind of, I don't say work so, I said work so hard, but like, why does it feel like sometimes they're out to kind of demonize games? And every time we have that conversation of violence in video games, there's like, you know, little Johnny was playing those games in here, or the Fortnite guy article, like reaching out and trying to find like stories to kind of post in their tabloids. Why do you think that is?
I mean, in tabloids, it's, I don't know. I mean, in the tabloids, it's the same thing. They're reaching for the views. They're reaching for the clicks. So saying extreme things in a tabloid gets those clicks. It doesn't really matter how true those things are. People like to read extreme things. Look at Facebook. You know what I mean? Like, that's why there's so many ads on Facebook of, you know, the top 10 things. You won't believe number 6. It's like, you know, it's just the silly world that we live in. People like to be outraged about things, so they are going to go full on, full tilt toward those. In terms of media outlets sometimes working so hard to demonize gaming, I don't know that they necessarily do. I don't know that I feel the same way. I feel like most respectable media outlets don't necessarily do it. And if they say anything about games, it's in order to get those clicks. A headline that says, games are the devil, you know. But when you read the whole article, it's like it's a very tiny 1% blurb of the article. I'm talking specifically
about like mainstream media.
Mm-hmm.
The people who are to a certain extent, our CNNs and our...
See, I don't feel like they demonize stuff gaming.
I guess I'm just not...
I mean, I feel like Fox News does, but Fox News, again, caters to a completely different audience. They cater to those outrage-prone individuals who really like to be angry about silly things. You know what I mean? And my dad being one of them, you know? That's like...
I'm not...
The president being another.
The comment specifically, like, why does it feel... If something bad happens, why does it feel like it's immediately kind of steered and pointed towards, like, somebody... when there's a shooting happened, why does it feel like... As soon as somebody finds a game in their room, especially in 2018, where millions upon billions of people play video games, that's like a point of interest. Oh, they played Call of Duty. It's rated M.
Yeah.
Like, why do you think that is? If it just, I mean, my first thought and interest, my first thought is that it's just a misunderstanding, not fully understanding like the video game, the nature of video games, and especially nowadays and how mainstream it is, and not necessarily diving in and seeing for yourself. It's just kind of like a gut reaction. And especially for a lot of those people who are still in that ring that are old school. They didn't play games when they were growing up. This wasn't a part of their life. It wasn't a part of their core values there. That's my thought on it.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that it's always a point that they mention, you know, I think that you're 100% right. It's one of those things where maybe it's just like a bite-sized chunk that they feel that people easily relate to, and they're like, Call of Duty, Grand Theft Auto, you know what I mean? Like, I do feel that, but when you say... I think that more or less they say it more to have people draw their own conclusions now, where back in the days of maybe Columbine, it was different. Back in the days of those times where it was just like, you know, they could really, really, really harp on the gaming aspect, where now with the vast majority of people playing some sort of video games, including those that are significantly more violent than they ever used to be, I just feel like it's something where they just happen to say it in passing and let you draw your own conclusions. Unless they have an agenda, you know, Fox News has an agenda, you know, the tabloids absolutely have an agenda. They're just trying to sell papers, you know, so if they could just go, he owned every Grand Theft Auto there's ever been. Can you believe it? You know, he's even got the collector's editions, you know, they're going to drive that point home like crazy because it sells more papers. But at the end of the day, I think in general, it's more like what you said. They'll say he had a game that happened to be M-rated, and then they'll leave it at that. And you can pick up the ball if you'd like to from there and make anything. Which most people do. And they do. But
they take it the wrong way, in my opinion.
Right. But I feel also like when you say most people do, I also feel like most people over the age of 45 do. I don't feel like most people our age take the ball to the goal posts. I feel like in general, in our generation, it's just not. We understand it a little bit more.
That's true because we play games. It's been part of our culture. It's been ingrained there since we've been born. So that's, you're not wrong there.
But I don't necessarily. I feel like then the mainstream media is not the one demonizing games. They're just stating a fact, and you can take that however you want to. Our generation would take it as, who cares? Everybody plays games. Whereas our parents' generation might be like, see? And then, I mean, there's nothing you can do on that. You're never going to change those people's minds.
Yeah. Some comments in Twitch chat. Failing Faster throwing it in here says, well, this is part of the problem. If you're afraid to talk about it, then how can we talk about it? Lunar Skull with the comment right after that saying, is it being afraid about talking it or afraid about being wrong? Not saying you're wrong, it's just the people I've talked with about it, they are so sure about being right, if I'm making any sense. Sort of, Lunar Skull. The question about, is it afraid about it, just in mental health and just gaming, not just gaming, but overall, but specifically in our context, because we know gaming, like talking about it or being afraid to talk about it, it's still a stigma. And it sucks.
It does.
There's way too many, and I think it goes really, really deeper than, of course, we have time to talk about or figure out. We're not the definitive people on the topic, but it's just a stigma. I think just it's a cultural thing, of just built up while nobody talked about it and it was hush hush. Just like like sexism in some cultures,
right,
and things of that nature. Like it's a stigma in and of itself, and so it, like you were talking about earlier, it does take time to get us at that, above that point.
I feel like our generation is much more open about it than our parents' generation was.
100%.
You know what I mean? I'm sure that the generation behind us will take those cues and move the goalpost a little bit further than we did.
Sure.
You know, hopefully they can get to the point where they can understand it more and be more, you know, approachable about it, so that people don't get in the position where they feel like, you know, the only choice they have is to make some sort of rash decision like school shootings, suicide, any of the other things that get tied along with that.
Yeah.
You know, I think the most important thing, at least for our generation, is, you know, I understand that it's hard to have a large voice in this world to get out to a lot of people about these things, but at the same time, to get a group of people that you trust, you know, that you have a circle that you can trust of your friends and people with reasonable ears that you can speak to about these kinds of things, so that way you can at least feel comfortable with them and be able to confide in them.
Yeah.
You know.
And also, Failing Faster throwing in the comment, every major news media has an agenda. Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, all the same. You're not wrong about that. And they even though they may not push you towards that, a lot of everybody has their own agenda, and they'll definitely turn the lights on and kind of steer you.
Oh, I agree. I'm not trying to say that CNN is a saint. I'm just saying, in terms of the gaming conversation, I feel like CNN doesn't necessarily have a horse in that race where Fox News would. CNN has plenty of other horses and plenty of other races that they are definitely trying to make sure they get their point across in certain ways. But I feel like in the gaming conversation, when you hear it from a CNN or an MSNBC or something like that, it's more just a blip on a radar, and you can take it however you want to. I feel like.
Failing Faster also puts in this in Twitch chat here, in order to talk about it, you have to be willing to be wrong, because that's the only way to find the truth. Be wrong and stumble around in the darkness long enough to find some nugget of truth. That is right on, man. My opinion. It's part of that stigma. Part of that stigma in talking about this is that nobody wants to be wrong, because they feel that when they're wrong, they're trapped and they get screwed. And a lot of facets to that conversation, but one could view that as like it, because us as a society, we do that. And until we're open, and being more open about having those conversations, people are still going to feel wrong and still feel that. And you know, I figured I was going to talk about Hellblade a lot in this conversation. Going back to Hellblade, the fact that Ninja Theory could have made that game with no help whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
They could have said, okay, we think Psychosis is kind of viewed as this, or kind of with this, but they actually went in, put in a budget to make, like, put it in their budget to reach out to these experts, these people who know about it, and more or less are saying, we want to make a game about mental health. We know nothing about mental health. We're wrong. You know, anything we do on our own is going to be completely wrong about that. Please teach us how. And in keeping them in that process, so that the entire game development process for Hellblade, they came in each week. They had people who suffer with mental illness all their lives and throughout their life, and coming in and saying, you know, how does that feel? Like, that's exactly what I experienced, or no, that's not right. You're doing it wrong. You're doing this. And they're very open and candid about that. And that's something I really, really appreciated with Ninja Theory and creating Hellblade in the first place. There. Lunar Skull's right. To be wrong is to be human. There. But it's a tough topic. I didn't expect to have right answers or good answers or any answers at all in the topic, but I think that it's something that kind of what everybody in chat is saying, what we're saying here, is that if we don't have the conversation, if we're afraid to have the conversation about that, especially just as gamers, because mental health does affect us in a particular way, just like it does everybody else, then we can't move forward to make it better.
Mm.
So. Whew, we got through topic one. That's awesome.
That was not at all where I thought we were taking that topic.
You were just joining us for the ride. That's all.
I certainly was. I was sitting in the back going, where are we going with this, Cameron?
Let's jump over to topic two. Much more friendlier topic. Much more kind of open, fun topic. make your own board game. I got this idea based on a topic of the day you posted, Chris.
I did.
In our Discord channel about what games we would like to see as board games.
Mm.
There was some news this week. Horizon Zero Dawn is getting a board game, which came out of nowhere. I wasn't expecting that.
Right.
I need to look. I put the article in here, I think. Yeah, I did. I want to see how this, like, how do you make this a board game?
I don't know. They said it's going to be canon, too.
What?
That's what they said. That's the word on the street. Also, I guess it's not officially a board game yet. It's a Kickstarter campaign to get the rights to make it into a board game. So it's not actually a thing yet, officially.
I'm sure it won't be hard to make that happen. Yeah, they've got just like one or two concept pieces. I don't know what they're trying to do. But it's still a work in progress. There are a lot of games in there. I know I've talked about The Witcher 3 has a tabletop role-playing game coming out soon. Super excited. Kotaku recently had an article. They're making a D&D tabletop game with D&D. Destiny.
Oh, okay. You needed to finish that. I go, uh-huh.
The pause was intentional. The pause was intentional. Oh. But Lucas Skull says we can crawl out of the well now.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, what are in chat you guys can participate as well. What are some video games that you would like to see made into a board game, and kind of how do you think they should best approach it?
It's a fun topic. It's a good time. And we're not talking like just the Monopoly versions of the games, because I feel like we have more than enough to satiate everybody on that. Please, please, no more. I don't need a Fortnite version of Monopoly. I don't need it. No. I started looking into this, you know, when you had suggested the idea. I started looking into it.
I'll put a caveat as well. It can be a board game or a tabletop game as well, like D&D. Caveat that, okay.
So, you know, sort of looking into it, ideas for different games or whatever that I could see. I'm surprised there's not more Nintendo property games.
Because it's Nintendo.
I guess, but they started as a game company. They got games and toys.
With an iron grip. They're not letting go. I mean, we do have that, what's the game?
Monopoly Gamer?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one's good.
That one's super, super fun.
It is fun.
But no, Nintendo's got a death grip on that IP, man. You gotta fight. You got to fight in the Rancor pit in order to get the IP.
But they're probably the ones I would like to see the most, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah, I think a Zelda one would be really cool.
Oh, man. That would be cool. What would it look like?
Probably some sort of Four Swords adventure type style. So that way you could have multiplayer going on it. I'd probably make it, you know, very small board, if not just card-based, similar to like a Munchkin-type style, where you somehow come together to take on the different forces of...
I'm going to have to play Munchkin. I hear about this game, and I see it, and I know what it is. I just never played the thing.
Okay. We can solve that problem.
I know.
I have a copy.
Everybody has Munchkin.
We all got a copy.
Everybody's got Munchkin.
But, so I could see something where you had, like, a Four Swords adventure, so, you know, have a bunch of players team up to try and take down bosses and Ganon, different kind of stuff,
Okay.
Yeah, I think that'd be cool. Cool. It'd be cool.
A game that I would like to see. Oh, man.
You had an idea. I don't know if you're saving that for later or something.
Which one?
You had told me
about. Okay. So World of Warcraft has a board game. I'm like 90% sure that World of Warcraft does not have a tabletop game. Why don't we have a World of Warcraft official tabletop game?
Mm-hmm. We have a board game.
Why hasn't somebody like retrofitted D&D 5e rules for a tabletop game?
You know, somebody probably has. How much research have you done into this? That's probably a thing.
Not much.
There's probably not an official version, but somebody probably made some sort of shoehorned.
You will print money. Come on. World of Warcraft tabletop game. I mean, they got basically the MMO already has everything laid out for you, and you can like to actually be sitting in a room with your friends and playing these, you know, reenact the burning of Telltale, right?
No, and I'm out. I don't want to play anymore. You just ruined it for me.
Or on the high notes here, reenact slaying the Lich King.
There we go.
In Ice Crown Citadel. There you go.
Everybody enjoyed that.
And it would just be cool, like, if there was a specific mechanic on how they did raids or whatnot.
Right.
For the tabletop game, it would be awesome.
That would be.
It'd be dope.
Good times. Good times. Another one that I would probably like to see. It's tough to say. It would probably be some sort of, you know, already an RPG type of situation. I could see a Final Fantasy, for instance. I'm surprised there's not a Final Fantasy game. In all my research, I didn't see anything with a Final Fantasy game out there. Surprisingly, there was a lot of other ones that I didn't expect, like Doom and Assassin's Creed Arena. Like, yep.
Those are things.
Very strange. Very strange. Did not think that those would be translated as well, but Final Fantasy I could see happening. Again, in a similar, you know, everybody team up and kind of take on challenges sort of situation. Not so much a versus as much as it is, like, you know, people coming together to take on some sort of random deck of enemies kind of
thing.
Okay,
true. Okay. Interesting. Let's see that game. Another franchise I would love to see. They did it with Dark Souls, because they just recently made a Dark Souls board game. I would love to see a board game of one of my favorite horror, scary genre games, Dead Space. Would love it. Oh, man. Would love it. Maybe not. Maybe specifically not Isaac Clarke, because that would be hard. It's very asymmetrical.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, it could be an asymmetrical game with Isaac Clarke. And then everybody else are all the infected.
Oh, okay.
They're not called infected. I can't remember what they're called. It would be cool, like, if just basically a scenario where you are, like, these different classes, like an engineer or a nurse or somebody like that, and you're in this spaceship, and you have to get to the escape pods and avoid the infected monsters.
Okay.
I think that would be fun.
Yeah, that could work. That could work.
I would like that a lot.
What about, like, a board game, though? Something much more rigid.
That would be a board game.
That would be a board game?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought it would be more akin to the card games that I was talking
about.
No.
You can make that a board game.
No, okay.
You can make that a board game. Build the ship. That'd be dope.
Mousetrap.
Oh, hey! I like that idea. I'm all about some Mousetrap, dude. Played that game to death when I was a kid. What else?
You can make a Mousetrap Minecraft. That'd be fun.
Minecraft?
Yeah, because it's all about building things, so...
That's what Legos are for. What are you talking about? I don't. Could that be?
They have Lego Minecraft, so I guess by that definition, they wouldn't need to do it.
That's true.
Failing Faster in chat says, "What about a Fallout survival type game? I don't play a lot of board games. So they make a survival type of board game? I mean, I don't see why you couldn't.
Yeah, you couldn't. I mean, board games are very fluid, so you can make your own genre or whatnot on it. That would be cool." I think, does Fallout already have a board game, though?
I think I saw one on a list. I know I saw Fallout Monopoly, but that doesn't count.
Man, I don't know if I want to play that game.
That doesn't count. That's not
Fallout does have a board game.
Oh, there you go.
Go check it out right now. See, your wishes have come
true.
Look
at that. How sweet
faster.
Is that?
What else? Any other idea?
I mean, I like video games too much. That's my problem. I don't play a lot of board games at all anyway. The only reason I put the thing in the topic of the day was I thought the figures looked cool. The robot dinosaurs look really neat.
The robot, they do look cool.
They look cool.
They do look awesome.
They look cool. The little figures they had, you know, 3D printed or whatever, they look really neat. So I was like, you know, I could get behind this.
A game that would work, and it's almost kind of gotten there before, I think, Metal Gear Solid.
Oh, okay.
As a tabletop game, if for people who have played it, kudos to you. I'm going to give you the thumbs up. Metal Gear Acid was a turn-based game for the PSP.
Mm-hmm.
Metal Gear Acid 1 and 2. Awesome game. I would love to see, though, like a tabletop role-playing game or a board game in akin to that style where you're basically Snake or an agent and whatnot, and you're sneaking through and kind of having to equip, like, weapons and whatnot and tackle enemies in different various fashions would be very dope.
What about Mario Party, the board game? Yeah, because everybody loves Mario Party, you know? You get in there, you're in first place,
God. You're
really enjoying it, and then in the last 4 seconds of the game, you lose somehow and you end up in last place for reasons.
There's no.
It doesn't really matter how good you are at the game whatsoever. You still have every bit of chance to lose the game regardless.
No way.
That's good. Everybody loves those kind of games, you know, where there's no way to actually
you probably have a better chance of winning if Mario Party the board game than Mario Party the video game.
Probably.
Because the RNG in the video game will screw you in a heartbeat.
Yes, it will.
100%. So I might actually be down for that. Mario Party's not... like, how do you do the mini games, though? It's just like you have like a set of like 8 mini games and you make it a smaller version and...
Something like that.
Or if you...
I mean, they have mini games in like a cranium, so you could do something cranium-esque.
Yeah, it would be something like that where you would assume a person would have everyday household items and you know, grab a pencil and whoever can hold it on their nose the longest wins.
There you go. It's like WarioWare meets Mario Party.
That's weird.
Wario Party. Time. Perfect. Wario Party. Make that a thing. Come on, Nintendo. Get on it.
Well, I'm surprised they haven't done that yet.
Wah.
Okay. I can't think of any other ones. Do I have any other ones?
There are no other games.
I mean, there are plenty of other games.
But... Nope. That's all the games there have ever been. I'm surprised there's not a tabletop Diablo. You would think that would lend itself really well to it.
A tabletop Diablo, yes. Okay. Yeah. Tabletop Diablo, that would be perfect.
Yeah.
That's a great, yes. Or even, I mean, Blizzard properties are ripe for...
Yeah, right?
A tabletop StarCraft.
StarCraft has a game.
It has a table...
It has a board game, at least.
Oh, it does? Okay. Mm-hmm. I would like the tabletop version of that. Like, being in that universe, hanging out with Queen of Blades...
Yeah, you know, just shooting the breeze, Queen of Blades.
Zerush.
Yeah.
Get your lawyers. Okay, that'd be cool. I'll be down for that, too. Down for that, too.
Good stuff.
I can't think of any more.
Yeah, I mean, I know there's a really cool Street Fighter game coming out that looks pretty neat by Angry Joe. Angry Joe's got one out there. He's got it kickstarted, got his licenses and everything. That's 90% of the way to production here, so...
We're almost there.
The figures look awesome. Again, I would, you know, I'm going to end up picking up the games just because it looks cool more so than even the gameplay.
Failing Faster in chat says, here are the mini games. Wall Ball, Kick the Can. What else? I would like to see a Mario Party board game where, like, grab a can, kick it at the wall. Whoever makes the biggest hit wins. I don't know how you play Kick the Can. That's a very old game, if it is a game at all.
Game was very loose back in those days.
Loose term, man.
Very loose term.
Thrown around very generously.
Yeah. Everything's a game. Do the chores. The game.
But guys, I think that's it for episode 110 of the Rocket Punch Cast. Again, thank you guys so much for joining us here on Twitch and everybody who is listening via audio services. Remember, you always can check out all the content we do over at rocketpunchgo.com. It's one little click up in your bar there. Go ahead and find that there. If you're listening on audio services, make sure you help us out by rating and reviewing the podcast on that service of choice. Helps our discoverability greatly. And also, if you're watching us via Twitch here at twitch.tv/RocketPunchLive, make sure you click that heart top of your screen so you can follow us here at Rocket Punch and you'll know when we're going live each and every day this week. Anything else, Chris?
Not for me.
Okay.
Yeah, that wraps up.
Guys, thank you so much for joining us this evening. We'll see you next week.